Thank you, son. He wasn't supposed to tell my secret. Keep everybody in suspense. I preached a little longer than I meant to at a place one time, and I was apologizing to the moderator. I said I just looked at the time wrong, and it got away with me. And he kind of grinned a little bit, and he said, Brother Shepherd, it's all right, but he said, do you know what your problem was? And I said, what? He said, your introduction was too long. So maybe my introduction won't be too long tonight. I am looking forward. Let me say quickly that I want to thank the church for hosting the meeting. I want to thank the church for the support that you have given me and my wife over the years. We came in one time. Farrell was coming up from North Carolina to preach a revival and or some kind of meeting. Brother Hall had him to come, and we knew about it, and we decided that we would drive in. I think it's 800 and some miles from Kansas, where we might have been 700 and some then where we live. But anyway, we decided we'd just drive in and surprise him. And we were sitting in Brother Hall's office when he pulled in. And in that meeting, they took us on for support. And any time that anybody wants to have a meeting and have Farrell, you let me know and I'll come. If I can. All right. But I do appreciate the support over the years. I appreciate the accommodations that the church has provided for us. Wish we could have been here the entire meeting, but just we felt like that we can only be here last night and today and tonight. So I'm not just preaching and running out. They knew that before we came that we were going to do this, because I had been gone 2 weeks in preaching missions conferences, and then we've had our missions conference back in Kansas, and so we just need to, I just need to be back. And so you be in prayer. But things are going well. My wife reminded me we have missionaries in our home tonight. They text today and said they're on their way. And so they know the code to get into the house, and they know where the bedroom downstairs or bedrooms and everything is down there, and so we're appreciative to be able to do that. Also, not only the accommodations, but the meals, wonderful. We like Mexican, and then so the first one was, and we both like barbecue and fried chicken, and so I don't know what's coming tonight, but boy, it's been good thus far, and thank you. Then I have heard. We've got a little 6-pound dog that we, when your grandkids are 1,200 miles away, you do something. I told my wife, she was loving on that dog the other night, and I said we could have raised another young one if you'd have loved them like you did. Anyway, I've never been comfortable in allowing a church to pay for our dog fee. I mean, that's just the thing with me, and so I've always paid for that, but I understand that somebody asked the pastor if they could take care of it, or the pastor said somebody had come to him, and I understand that's taken care of, so I'm not paying it this time. All right. So anyway, thank you, whoever. And then the meeting's been wonderful. The preaching, right down the line from the time Brother Hardin stood and preached the Word of God, and the fellowship has been wonderful. I thought as we knelt in that packed room, as we knelt to pray, the only time in the last 23 years that we have something like that is when we come somewhere to a meeting like this, or we go to North Carolina, we go somewhere else. It's not in the, that would have been, if we'd had that many people in our church, we'd had a crowd. Amen. And so we had the largest number in our church just recently that we've had, and it was 45. And that's about 5 times more than usual. But anyway, we're trying to do our part. If you have your Bibles now, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read two places in the Word of God. The first one is in Luke chapter 2, and I'll try to get out of the way, and I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Sutton again, and also hearing Brother Ballou, if that's the direction of the Lord. But however God directs, it'll be all right with me. As long as His will's done, I believe that we'll be well satisfied. I've went to some places and things didn't go just the way I wanted them to, but they went better. They went better. And so if God's will's done, that'll be even better than what we could think of ourselves. I've went expecting to preach and not get to preach, and it was better than if I had. And then I've went to some places and it didn't go the way I wanted it to, and it was worse than I thought. And I preached. So, you know how all that is. All right. Luke chapter 2. Stand with me for just a moment, and I'll read this, and then we'll pray after I read this verse, and I'll read another verse to you, and then we'll get quickly into the message. Luke chapter 2, verse 49, the Bible said, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me, wished ye not, that I must be about my Father's business?" We know that's the Lord Jesus speaking those words. Let's pray together. Father, I bow before you tonight to thank you for your blessings and care and for the opportunity to be back in your house. I'm so grateful. Lord, I appreciate your goodness. I thank you, Father, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the members of it. I thank you, Father, for these that have come in for this meeting. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to sit under the preaching of the Word of God, to have some fellowship with your people. Lord, just to come apart for a little while, lest we come apart. I pray for your help in our lives now. Use me. Lord, help me not to mess anything up. Help me to say that I should. Get out of the way. Help these other men of God to preach what they should. And through it all, may you be glorified. And Lord, if there's one tonight that does not know Christ, I pray this would be the wonderful hour that they'd trust you as their personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, some 50 plus years ago, 50 years and a few months, I called upon your name. I thank you that you heard. I thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you'll turn with me to chapter 9 of the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 9, and verse 6. "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" What wilt thou have me to do? I guess it was message that Brother Schock preached that I mentioned this morning when I was giving you some thoughts as Farrell asked me to the missionaries to stand and tell about some things that was going on. But Brother Gary Schock preached a message on the king's business requires haste from over in First Samuel. You know, when David said that. And it is true. But as a result of that, my mind, I guess the message made such an impact on me that my mind has continued to go. And in looking at this, I want you to think about this. We talk about in my business or something like that. One of our grandsons has a lawn care business. Somebody's got some kind of business. You might go up to Daniel and say to him, "How's your business going?" Or you might go up to him and say, "How's your work going?" Right. Basically meaning the same thing. Would you not agree? Right. And so as we look at this, my thought upon it is this. Jesus said, "Don't you know that I must work the work of He that sent me?" Amen. It's the business of the Lord. It's His business. It's His business. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus knew that he had a part in the greatest business that there is in the world. And I'm not talking about the ministry being a business. I'm not talking about that. I remember when we, and I say we because I'm a member of Vision Baptist Church, but our son at that time was the pastor when God led him to start the printing ministry. I remember he said that he had to decide, is this going to be a business or is this going to be a ministry? And he concluded it was going to be a ministry, and that's why that he went on to do things as he did, free as the Lord provides. And so that's the that is a ministry, but at the same time it's a business of the Lord. Now I understand, I know some others that are in the printing ministry. They have a part of it to where that they print books for people and they charge a fee, and that money rolls back into the ministry part of it and all of that. And if that's the way a church does or it does, that's between you and God. I'm just using the thought of the business of the Lord. Now, when we go from Jesus, may I say to you that if it had not been for Him being about the Father's business, none of us would be in business today. Had He not went on to the cross and died and gave His life that we might have eternal life, had He not saved us through His shed blood, I want to tell you today, we wouldn't have any reason to preach. There wouldn't be any reason for ministry. There wouldn't be any reason to go into the foreign countries and tell. We wouldn't have any good news to tell them. There wouldn't be anything to take to them. Jesus carried out and fulfilled the business of the Father. He fulfilled the work that God had sent Him to do. To the very point, He hung on that cross until the time came that He could honestly say, "It is finished." By the way, somebody said this morning, I believe it's Brother Durham, or I've forgotten now, but somebody said the Pope said that it was finished. That Jesus, when He died, He died in, I forget the word they used, but in failure. But let me tell you something. He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." There's a big difference when you come to think about the way that that was said. So thank God today Jesus came about His Father's business, and He stayed with it until it was finished. And He passed it on to us. And one day Jesus looked down from heaven and saw an old heathen religious man, thought he was doing God a favor by the things that he was doing. He was so zealous in his ministry that he was killing Christians. And the Lord arrested his soul.
Amen.
And on the road to Damascus that day, Paul fell to the ground, heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Saul, Saul." Personal call.
Amen.
Personal. Listen, all of us have a part in missions. Here He called Saul by name. And Saul said, first he said, "Who art thou?" And do you know, that tells me it's all right to ask a question if you don't know, if you are willing to accept the answer.
Right. Amen.
And so here's what happened. He said, "I am Jesus." He answered his question.
Yes,
that's all it took. And then Paul said, "What wilt thou have me to do?"
Amen.
"Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Acts 9:6. And so we see that that Paul immediately thought, there must be something for me to do. I'm a part of this thing. I could tell you a story if my son hadn't let my secret out about it being that I had a short thought. But I could tell you a story. And maybe because I should say the pastor, or so that it'll be clarified. But anyway, that's who I'm talking about when I say my son. But hear me tonight. I could tell you the story about a little girl, because I wanted church-wide participation in Faith Promise. And this little girl said to her mama, she wanted to give something. Her mama said, how much? And she said, a penny. And so every week we got a penny into the Faith Promise mission. She said, preacher, I wouldn't even have messed with it. Yeah, but listen, not too long ago I was over there at Smoky Valley Baptist Church, Brother Sutton, and that little girl was there, and I mentioned that. And she's about, how old is she, 12, something like that, 12 or 13, something along those lines. Guess what? She's still giving.
Amen.
When I mentioned it, she went to the treasurer and said, am I caught up on my faith promise? And so she's still giving.
Amen.
She's still giving. Amen. And so here's the thing. We all have some part.
Yep.
And so that's my introduction. Now, let me ask you this question. What is your part in this missions conference?
Yes,
what is your part? I want to give you three things. Number one, all of us are to pray. Would you agree with that? That's a very simplistic thought, a very simplistic thought. All of us are to pray. You can read in Luke 10:2, and you can read in Matthew 9:38, where our Lord Jesus Christ, basically, if I could just paraphrase, said that we were to pray the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into the harvest.
Amen.
We need laborers.
Yeah.
We need laborers. It's not just Kansas, but it's other places.
Right.
It amazes me when I get out on the highway and I'm traveling and I look at these different trucks. And I see a roadway truck going this way, and then I see a roadway truck going this way. First thing you know, you see one going this way, and you see one going that way. All kinds of ways. But what you may not stop to think, there is a dispatcher somewhere that is directing them.
Amen.
And do you know who the dispatcher is for us? It's the Holy Spirit. You can find that out in Acts chapter 13. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when the church, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. You search it out and see if that sent forth, see if that phrase, one of the ideas is not dispatch.
Amen.
They were dispatched. They were sent to the same place. All are to pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers. We ought to pray one for another. We ought to pray for these missionaries. By the way, I have said this, and I really mean it from the depths of my heart. If you're not going to pray for me, I don't want you to send us any money.
Yep.
You say, well, I'll take either one. Listen, one of the ways, would you agree with this? One of the ways that we determine the will of God in our lives is circumstances.
Sure.
That's the last one, but that is one of the ways, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, what if you're sending money and God's wanting me to be somewhere else, but I'm taking it, I'm out of the will of God enough until I'm only going by circumstances for that particular time, and so I'm staying at a place because the finances are coming in. Because I do believe where God guides, God provides. I know that's a cliche, but I believe that. I not only believe it, I've got Bible for it. Not just one of those beliefs I preached sometime back on where in the world did we get that belief. But in Acts chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And by the way, notice that every man, he's talking about missions, but he said every man. He's talking about an others offering, in other words. He said every man, everybody's supposed to participate. All are to pray. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So not only are all to pray, all are to give.
Yes, sir.
All are to give. And he says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Amen.
And so I see today that all are to give. All are to pray. All are to give. And as we give, surely today we ought to pray about who we're going to send that to. A church is responsible for the way that they handle the money that is given. The churches that we're starting in Kansas, the way we support missions is through faith promise. It's a method. I said the other day in a missions conference I was preaching up in Maryland, it was in North Carolina where I was preaching this, I believe it was. I said there's other methods of giving besides faith promise. I used to participate in them. One of them was hit and miss. When I had it, I gave it. When I didn't, I didn't. I didn't budget for it. I didn't plan for it. It just, if it come up at the right time, I gave it. And otherwise, I didn't. It was just a hit and miss. So there's other methods besides faith promise. But the reason that we do faith promise in the churches we're starting is because that we don't rob what is needed when a pastor comes in. We have things ready. We don't rob what is needed to take care of a building. I know a church planter right now that he's running about 30-some, and he's praying for a pastor. I'm not going to tell you where it's at after I tell you this other, but he's praying for a pastor. And he's had a couple of people to come in, and things have not worked out. They bought a building, give $150,000 for it. They've paid for it. They have, and so when they got it paid, you know what they started doing? Pastor said, until we get a pastor, we're just going to go ahead and pay him before he gets here. So now they're taking $1,500 a month out of their offering, and they're putting up in a separate account so that when that pastor gets there, there'll be something there for him. There'll be something there for, in other words, if it gets lean, there'll be something to pull on and such as that. And so you say, preacher, where's that at? All right. By the way, I know where another place is at that a man's got he's wanting to retire. He needs to retire. He's sick and all of this. And it's a small church. I happen to know that the parsonage is going to be given to someone if they go and prove themselves and such as that. But if some people knew it, they'd be there and they'd be gone. Church would be down and they'd be down. God had led them somewhere else. That's sad, but I'm telling you it's the truth. Well, I didn't mean to get into all that. I'm getting away from my time. Let me give you all are to pray, all are to give. Now, I had a woman to tell me she didn't believe in tithing. And so I said, well, we do know tithing's in the Old Testament. She said, yeah, I agree with that. And so I said, well, what do you think of the standard? I said, surely if God had a standard for giving in the Old Testament, He would have a standard for giving in the New Testament. And I said, do you agree with that? She said, yes. And I said, what do you reckon the standard for giving in the New Testament is? And she took me to that scripture that I just read you. As a man purposeth in his own heart, so let him give. And I said, you do know that the way you interpret scripture is by looking at the context to see what it's talking about. And I said, if you look at that scripture, you'll find out that was in the context of the offering that Paul received for others. And none of that was to be used for the church. None of that was to be used for the upkeep. And so then, must not been any money left to provide for a pastor or a church. But I said, if you take that as an other's offering and you give that as God would lead you, and then you give the tithe, there'll be monies for both. Amen. And I believe that. Amen. Well, all are to give. And then in Acts 13, and I've already quoted it to you, but you can go by there and read it. Some are to go. All are to pray. All are to give. And some are to go. But let me tell you something. Those that go are not exempt from praying. And those that go are not exempt from giving. So in actuality, we see today that God's got a good balance in His mission program. If we'll obey Him, if we'll pray, as we should, if we'll give as we should. And by the way, I found I'm always looking for something. We've got a marquee and we put things on it because we're in a good location, and sometimes it's might just be to badger people that look, but we're trying to get them to think and such as that. But I read across one the other day that said, be careful what you pray. God may hold you to your word.
Yeah.
And if you just think about that a little bit, just a little roundabout way. But if you're praying that God will send forth laborers, if you're in all sincerity, you might want to understand that God might say, what about you?
Right.
I did find that over there in Isaiah where the man of God was praying, and he got close enough to God until he began to hear what God was saying
right.
back to him.
Right.
Every once in a while, you know, we think that we have some problems with our hearing. I heard about this fellow, and you probably heard it too. He began to tell his wife, you know, that he didn't have any problem with his hearing and all of this. And he found out that he thought it was her with the problem. And he said, I'm going to prove it to you. So he had her to stand over there, and he said, with her back to him, and said, honey, can you hear me? No answer. He stepped up a few feet and said, honey, can you hear me? No answer. And he stepped up right behind her and said, honey, can you hear me? And she said for the third time, yes. And so it might be that if we're not careful, we may be talking to God and we may think everything's all right, and we may be praying about Him sending forth laborers into the field. But there is that danger of getting such a burden that you get close enough to Him,
yeah,
that you find out He's talking to you.
Amen.
And wanting you to go.
Amen.
Might be something like that that happens to missionaries as they pray.
Amen.
But it's still the fact. All are to pray. All are to give. And some are to go. Would you say, here am I, Lord?
Amen.
Send me. Would you be willing? Father, take the message. Glorify your name with it. In Jesus' name.